soon learns how little he knows when a child begins to ask questions. And I had that a lot. And it's because I said so. That's what I told her. And she said, "Okay, Pappy." So that was an easy one. They're not always that easy. Okay, let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for this day. I thank you, Father, for the time that we can gather together like this. And we just ask that you would just be with us this day and that you would just guide and direct. I ask that your spirit would just take full control here today. Lord, we have your servants here. All of us are servants to you. And I ask, Lord, now that you would just take your spirit and enlighten us with your scripture here today. Help us to listen to it as we read it. Help us to learn from it. Lord, teach your servants here through your scripture and not what I say, but what your scripture has to say here. We ask that you would do that for us. I ask now, Father, that you would just be with the pastor and the family as they're on vacation, that you would give them safety, that they would have a good time. And we ask that you would just bring them back once again here to us there safely there, Father, and that help them to be relaxed and to get away from the things here of the world. And we just hold that before you and ask you would just help them. Be with us here now and teach us your word. And even the service to follow, that your word would go forth, Father, that it would be pleasing to you, be uplifting to you, and that we can learn something from you. We praise you for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we've been, it's been a couple weeks, and that's fine. We were looking over some things here of a good wife is to be a help to her husband. She's some different aspects of that, and why should I be a help to my husband? We went over some different things about that, which brings us to the last one here today, which I want to try to get through here. I have something else here we're going to start, hopefully, and once we get started here with this here other thing that I have that we're starting, I want you to think about the last 2 weeks of the two lessons that Gary brought, because I think there's some answers there to it. I was sitting back here while he was going over that, listening to your questions, your answers, and just some different aspects of that. And there's things in this next lesson that we're going to be starting here I think there's answers in there. But you have to be open to the scriptures for it, and they open your mind up. I know that for sure, because I was. So let me try and finish this up here first. So, ladies, when am I a hindrance to my husband? Are you ever a hindrance to your husband, ladies? You're not. Wow. You are. You meant that. When are you a hindrance? I'm asking you the question. When are you a hindrance? When you nag at them all the time. Well, that's a good one, yeah. I have four different things down here, but what do you think, ladies? What if he has a good day at work? And he comes home for a change, you know. And he's kind of happy for a change. For a change. It doesn't happen all the time. But he finds the children and the house a wreck. Will his day be ruined, you think? Not? The one I have down here is, and what I'm talking about is, when I am depressed, ladies, and you do get that way, because the things of the day get to you, and we understand that, but when he comes home and he finds all this here out, It's just one of them things where you need to go to the scripture and look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So give thanks for it, even though you have a hard day. No matter how hard your day is, try, and it's tough, I know sometimes, to be a glow and a joy to your husband when he comes home. Let me find this other verse here, Philippians 4:4. Too far. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, that's right. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. You're to rejoice. Even though you get depressed, you're to rejoice. Tough. I know. I understand. It's tough. What else do you think that you're a hindrance to your husband? What are you thinking? Come on, you can talk to me today, okay? Go ahead.
You refuse to let him lead. You want to usurp that authority and say, you know what he wants to do or the direction he wants to go, but you refuse to take his hand along the side of him.
Okay. How about when I'm rebellious? Is that what you're talking about here? Maybe a little bit. And that's what I have down here. When I am rebellious, 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And that's what it is. Rebellion is similar to witchcraft. Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. And Proverbs 19:13 says, a foolish son is commonly of his father, and the contentions of a wife are as continual droppings. I think that's an unending irritation. You're irritable to him all the time. And that's what rebellion is all about. So, you know, that can be a terrific hindrance. Two more I got. What do you think? And your answers were good there that you two had. How about when you're covetous? When you're coveting something. Oh, I see. Look what the neighbor's got. Why can't we have something like that? It's just one of them things. When you covet something, you know. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content. Ladies, be content with the man that you have. Be content with the children that you have. All this stuff that God has given to you. You want to talk about teaching your children something, there's something to teach them. Contentment. You heard Gary say last week about teenagers, why so many teenagers are leaving the church and all that kind of stuff. They're not content. They're not taught it. That's just some of the things. And like I say, there's other things here that I'm going to... But they're not content to be content with what they have. And they see the parents not being content. And it just goes on down the line. And the last one here, I have one more. When I wrong him... And Proverbs, we went over this, but Proverbs 31:12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Always put your husband's best interest first. It's just one of the things here that we have for him. So when you're a hindrance to your husband, when you're depressed, when you're rebellious, when you're covetous, and when you wrong him, it's just not good. You know, it's just something that, you know, if you have problems like that, you know, work on it and let the Lord take care of it for you. That's what we have. Okay, so that ends that lesson. Now, I'm going to get into one here, and I mean, let the scriptures, you think about the scriptures here that I have. I have lots and lots of scriptures, and you just let the scriptures speak to you, because I think you're going to find that there's some different things about what's going on here. I'm going to start it off this way. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. So a wise woman is going to build her house. She's going to build it up. And that's building the family. The house here that he's talking about is building the family. That's building the family up, building the house up. And he's saying here, every wise woman does this. Corby, go to Ruth 4:11 and 12, and I'll read this other one. Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom is the house builded, and by understanding it is established. So this is building a family up is what it's really talking about if you get into it. And I was into this a little bit, and that's what it's talking about. Ruth 4:11 and 12.
Know the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman.
So they're saying there, these people are saying there to Ruth that she's to build the house like Rachel and Leah did, and then as Tamar did for Perez as they were building their houses. And this is the way that we should build our house. A wise woman will build her house. She will go to the scriptures. She's going to go and look and see the different aspects of the scriptures here of what she's going to do. Now, a foolish woman or a foolish person, Proverbs 9:13-15 says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. You see what she is? See how foolish she is? She's not building her house. She's not worried about her house. She's worried about herself. She's taking in her own self-interest is what she's doing here. Someone foolish like that. Proverbs 19:13. Proverbs 19:13. A foolish son is comity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are continual droppings. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And verse 19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. What do you think about that, ladies? Men, you older men, and maybe even some of you younger men, you know when it's time to keep your mouth shut, don't you? You learn that lesson. Don't agitate it and make it worse. When she's angry, let her cool down, you know. And the same way it happens though with a man, you know, and you know, too, lady or ladies, you know, when he's hot under the collar, let him cool down a little bit, you know. Then try to talk to him. It usually works a lot better than to have the contentions all the time. But the Bible talks there a lot about an angry woman. 1 Kings 16:31, and this is Ahab, and it just talks about who he marries here, and you know who he marries. And it came to pass, as if it had been lightning for him, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ebab, king of the Zidons, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. What did she do?
She manipulated him.
She brought him down. She tore her husband up. We're going to be talking about her. And this is what we're going to be talking about. I got six women here in the Bible who destroyed their men. And this is what we're going to be going into here. And it is something how they did. And she's one of them that we're going to be talking about, but I'm not going to get into her. We're going back first to Genesis chapter 3. So if you want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, here's where it's going to start. Genesis, I'm going to go here to Genesis chapter 2, first of all. I've gone over this before, but doesn't hurt to do a little bit of it again. Genesis 2:18, he says, "And the Lord said, it is good that man should not be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." So at this point, God has everything created except for he's going to make a helpmeet for the man that he had created. So in this particular passage here, he creates them. He creates the woman. He creates her. She was made for a helpmeet for the man. That's not what we have here today. Gentlemen and ladies, teach your children this. It is very important what we were created for. And then when we get into Genesis chapter 3 here, teach your children about sin. This is what happens, I think, a lot of times, that these teenagers do not understand what sin is, and so they want to go out here and experience it. And you wonder why then that they leave the churches and they leave the Bible and they leave all this kind of stuff. Christians, so-called. It is important, I believe, that they need to be taught these things. Well, anyhow, like I said, woman was made for a helpmeet for the man. Eve started out right. I mean, Adam told her, I'm sure she was told, you know, God created all this stuff. He says in chapter 2 here, in verse 16, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So I'm sure that he told her, we're free here. We can do as we please. All we have to do is stay away from this tree. Stay away from it. Don't go near it. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. Don't do nothing about it. Stay away from it. I'm sure that he taught her that. But she decided something completely different. She decided her own will. And, you know, we know what the account that's going to happen, what happens, and we're going to go through it here. So we see here the different aspects of it. Let's read some verses here. Dan, go to Proverbs 18:22. Danny, 1 Corinthians 11:9. Chad, 1 Timothy 2:13, and I'll go to this last one here in Ecclesiastes. When you get to Proverbs 18:22, go ahead and read it.
"Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord."
So he says there, you obtain a favor of the Lord if you find yourself a wife, right?
It says a good wife.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it say a good wife?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good thing if you find a wife.
I don't know what it says. What's it say to me?
Oh,
you can read it.
Yes, please.
Whoso findeth a wife, findeth
a good thing. Findeth a good thing. Findeth a wife. Findeth a wife. Should you teach your children that it's supposed to be a man and a woman, not a man and a man and a woman and a woman?
Yes.
Do we teach our children these things, you see? There you go. Keep that, these things in mind as we read, the, like I said, these different scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11, 9. A lot of them don't like that. A lot of, today, this women's lib, they don't like this kind of stuff. Not that you're not we're talking about here whatsoever. Nothing about it at all. But the woman was created for the man, not the man for the woman. 1 Timothy 2:13.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve.
So the man was first formed, and then the woman. And Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. See, there you go. Helping one another. You see, and he says it's not good for you to be alone because you can't do nothing. He says, again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So he's, God shows us in his word that the man and the woman were supposed to be together. And he created the woman for the man. And that's what Eve was created here for. Now, Genesis chapter 3. You have the innocent here. And they're tempted. The innocent here are tempted. Now, I want you to keep in your mind here. Now, everything has been created. God made a garden. Let me read it here. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Edom, and there he put a man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did man go out here and plant trees like they do today and stuff? No. God made it for him. All right? And he says, and a river went out of Eden to the garden, from whence it was parted and became into four heads. The garden was watered by this river that he used. Man, at this particular time, didn't have some kind of a pump or an irrigation system that he needed to do his garden. He didn't have to do nothing like that whatsoever. All he had to do was be in the garden, eat, sleep, and take care of whatever he had to take care of. You know, he named the animals and all that. It was a perfect environment and a perfect situation that they were in. You and I don't understand. We don't know what that perfect situation was. We never had nothing like that whatsoever in our lives because of what happened here with Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Okay? Now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. The innocent is tempted here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So the devil decides to pick a serpent, which is a snake. Number one, if my wife was even any close to a snake, she'd be gone. She wouldn't be talking to a snake. There'd be nothing about a snake that she likes whatsoever. She hates snakes. In the kids, they like to tease her about snakes all the time, and then she'll dream about them. So she hates snakes, period, okay? But here's Eve. She's with a snake. Now it says he's more subtle than any beast of the field. First of all, I'm just curious. How's the word subtle spelled in your Bibles? Is anybody's Bible have the word subtle, S-U-B-T-L-E, or is it S-U-B-T-I-L? What is it? T-I-L? See, mine has is S-U-B-T-L-E, and I checked that out, but here, according to what I found out on it, there is some versions that, I mean, the King James Version, some of them spelled it that way, and some of them spell it S-U-B-T-I-L. When I went to look it up, I couldn't find nothing with S-U-B-T-L-E, but I did with S-U-B-T-I-L. And what do you think subtle means? Yeah, that's right. Anybody else? There's lots of words that describe it. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stand out. Usually something that's subtle doesn't stand out.
Mm-hmm. Here's what the dictionary says about it. Sly, artful, cunning, crafty, insinuating, deceitful, treacherous. Now, isn't that something? To have your name, how would you like to have your name? Oh, that Corby Fedorov, he's subtle.
But isn't that something, how we use that in a completely different way nowadays?
I was reading my Bible the other day. Do you know? Has anybody ever ran across that word with anybody's name in the Bible yet? Besides, right here. Do you remember of anything like that? As you were reading. Huh? No. I only found a couple, but I was reading just in my daily devotions that I was reading, and then I come across that, and I thought, "Whoa! I didn't realize. I never saw that before." 2 Samuel 13:2 is one of them. And this is where I came up with it. But Ammon, now this is Tamar, this is Ammon that, you know, he loves his half-sister Tamar. But he has an uncle, and this is what it says about him. But Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. Little crafty. You know the account, what went on there. He was a little crafty about this whole situation. He told him how to, he could get, Ammon could get to his sister, play sick, and have her come in and take care of you, And then he rapes her, and then he hates her worse than the love that he had for her because he did this, And his life got taken because of it, but, it's the way it is. What's that?
Proverbs
7:10. Yeah, that was my other one. Proverbs 7:10 says, "And behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot, and subtle of her of heart." And this is Solomon telling his son, just like he's saying here to his son, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." He's telling her, he's warning him about this subtle lady, this harlot that's out there.
That
one's Proverbs 7:10. Now, also this word, subtle, there was, I thought, I was as I was looking around here, there's the word subtlety. And we have that word here used quite a bit in Scripture also. Genesis 27:35 says, "And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." That's when Jacob took the blessing away from Esau. And his father, Isaac, is telling Esau here, he said that his brother came with subtlety and had taken away thy blessing. So we see that there. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 19. I told you I had a lot of scriptures, and I have a lot of scriptures. 2 Kings 10, 19 says, "Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, and his servants, and all his priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live." But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. You see, he was trying to draw them in. And if you watch this word, that's what this word tries to do. It draws them in. And see, that's what Satan here was using that serpent. He was trying to draw Eve in. And that's what was going on here. He was drawing her in. And a lot of these scriptures, that's what you find with it. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Now, Matthew 26, 4. Matthew 26, 4 says, "And consulted they that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him." They were trying to draw him in. They were trying, these people were using the subtlety to draw him in. And Jesus knew what was going on. He knew what was happening. He could have got out of it if he wanted to, but he knew that what God's will was for his life. And he just followed along with them. Acts chapter 13, verse 10. "And said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thine enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert thy ways to the Lord?" And so this was Paul or Saul at this particular time talking to some people here. And he's saying, you know, he's telling them that they're full of mischief, they're full of the devil. And the last one that I have here is 2 Corinthians 11, 3. 11:3. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So we see that the word, you know, I think a lot of it is kind of, you know, with the meanings of it there, sly, artful, cunning, crafty, deceitful, treacherous, and all that, you can see that he was trying to draw her in. And that's exactly what he did. He drawed her in. She listened. And he says, and let me read on here now in verse 1. "And he said unto the woman," in chapter 3 of Genesis, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Gary said the other week, I don't know if he remembers it or not, but he said God's word was attacked. This is the first time God's word was attacked. And how true that is. Here's the first time that it's attacked. But from this time on, oh, I can't understand the King James Version of the Bible. Let's try and make ourselves another Bible so that we can understand it a little better. You know, make it. We'll take some words out of it. We'll make the words a little easier to understand. You see what I'm talking about? It's attacked. It's attacked today. From this point here, right here where it started, that God's word's attacked. Teach your kids about this, how it's attacked. You know, this is God's word. They got to understand that. If they don't understand it, They're going to want another version. They're going to want something different. They don't understand it. It's just one of them things. They got to understand that God's word's attacked. Now, why I don't understand, and maybe you have, maybe you studied this out and have, why in the first place was Eve even close to this tree? What's going on here? What's the purpose of this? You know, she walked near this forbidden fruit. She knew it was forbidden. Yet, she was there. You know, did you ever think about that? Why was she there? What was she doing there? It's forbidden. For the thing that you should do is stay away from sin. She was right there with it. This is her forbidden fruit. Stay away from sin. You know, stay away from this sin. Another thing here that she had, she couldn't have been content with what she had. If she was content, why is she there? You know, be content with what you have. Be grateful for what you have. God's given it to you. Be grateful for it.
Well, God created the garden to be a beautiful place. And I believe this tree being in the midst of the garden, along with the tree of life, which is also mentioned in the Bible other places too, has a beauty about it. And yes, that represented sin for these two people. And sin is normally beautiful. Sin is something that attracts us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking, as I was thinking about this, as she was walking, you know, that maybe she was just out for a walk. I don't know. I can't tell. I don't know for sure. But there was some reason that she was here.
I don't think so, James. If you go to James, chapter 1, where it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is sin, it bringeth forth death." She committed that sin, that lust in her mind, way before she even got over near it.
I think her curiosity got the best of her.
She already committed that sin in her mind before it happened.
Mm-hmm. Cora.
We assume that she's by herself. She didn't have to seek her husband out. He's with her, I believe.
Okay. I don't know if you ever picked this up. This is what I picked up here. Let me read it to you. Verse 6. We're going to get to this, but since you brought that up. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat." So they were both there.
We often thrash Eve under this circumstance, and it wasn't just Eve.
Now, you know, he was with her. Why didn't he have enough of guts to stand up and say, "God said we're not supposed to eat of this"? But evidently he didn't say nothing. He just left her. Go ahead, eat of this, let the devil talk to her and eat of it, and bam. He did too. Go ahead.
The New Testament's pretty hard on Eve about that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he was there, and why didn't he? I have no idea. But according to the New Testament, I mean, I don't blame women for everything. I'm not doing it. I'm just saying, but that's who got deceived.
Mm-hmm.
She, and I believe she swayed him. And the spirit of Jezebel is that manipulation too, and so and he's not clean by any means either. I mean, the man made a choice one way too, so he's in rebellion against God as well.
Ladies, that we're talking about the ladies. This is, we're going through them, but now, you got to understand. You know, and don't tell me you don't know how to manipulate your husband. You can do it. And men, you know they can do it. You take them, Corby, you take that little girl right there when she gets a little older. She'll have her little fingers. She'll have you wrapped around her little fingers. She will. I'm telling you. I got grandkids, and I know just exactly what they try to do. I have put up with it all weekend long. I'm keeping two of them. I know exactly what they do. And the one, she's so dainty. Oh, Pappy, I want a swing. I had her out to the swing so many times, I was getting so sick of swinging, it was pathetic. She wanted to swing this morning at 9 o'clock. I said, no, we're going to church and Sunday school. We're not swinging right now. You know, okay, Pappy. So got that over with and stuff. But you can manipulate, and she manipulated him here. I believe she did. She knew how to do it.
She did. But it's going to be the temptation of Satan along with this because
subtle.
He lied. I mean, right here in verse 3, and it says, ye shall not eat of the tree, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's not what God said. That's a lie. You look back at verse 17 where he says, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And there's nothing in there about touching it. Oh, I'll just go ahead and touch it. You might die. You know, it's the subtlety of Satan doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He lied by and she believed the lie.
Yep. And see, that's what she did. She listened to the serpent. Ladies, don't listen to unsafe friends. Don't listen to them. They're going to deceive you. They're going to take you down. Don't listen to backsliding, complaining Christians. They're going to take you down. They will do that. It's just one of them things. Just say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. The pastor just told us about a church in the area that's having problems. And you know, I agree 100%. I don't want to hear it from none of them. I don't want to hear it. If somebody comes to talk to me, I'm going to say, I will pray for you, but I don't want to hear it. I have gone through enough myself, too much, and I don't want to hear it anymore. I honestly don't want to hear it. Why do you want to let the devil get in and tear things to pieces? That's my point of view on it. And that's exactly what we do. That's why these things happen and take place. The devil gets in there and he wants to tear things to pieces. He does it through churches. And we've got to be very careful here at this church that he doesn't do that. Because here you can see what he did here. This is where it first all started. And now it's been from that time on, it's been tearing down God, getting people away from God, you know, and wanting them to follow him. That's what it's all about. Pray for them. You know, pray that they wake up and don't let the devil take over. You know, and that's all he wants to do. He wants to take over. So, like I say, just be careful ourselves. Don't allow that to happen and take place. So, like I say here, Eve listened to this. She listened to Satan. And just as Danny pointed out there, that's what I was going to point out, but he got it. She distorted the word of God. That's why God's word was attacked here. It was distorted. You know, he distorted it. He made it sound good. You know, he made it sound good here. So, like I say, never listen to anyone who disagrees with God. Just don't listen to them. Say, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. It's just one of them things. And so, you know, we see here what she did. Let me read on here. We have just a couple minutes here. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, he was right about that. There's no doubt about that. Their eyes were going to be open, but they are surely going to die after that. And that's why we have the things that we have here today, because of it. So, I have lots on this yet. Lots on this. I want to point out here to you and show you how that she just tore not only her husband down, but she tore the human race down because of what she did here. I got to stop there. Questions or comments on anything? Go ahead. Right. As I pointed out there to you in the first place, they had it perfect. I mean, they could talk to their Creator. Their Creator would come to them, and they would be able to talk. They were innocent. They were naked and didn't even know it. They weren't ashamed or anything about it, or nothing like that, like you and I would be. They knew it. They didn't know nothing about that. There was no knowledge in their minds that they were naked or anything like that. And there they were talking to their Creator. And she decided that that wasn't enough. She wasn't content. She wanted more. She wanted something different. And I'm going to point that out to you here later in some more lessons. Any other questions or comments? Father, I thank you and praise you for this time. We thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for your word. And I ask, Lord, that your word would just speak to us and that we could learn from it. Now, that's why we're here. That's what Sunday school is all about. And then, Lord, the church service to follow, Father, your word as it goes forth, that to learn about you too also. So we just ask, Father, that as Christians, Lord, that we can grow in you and we don't make these dumb mistakes, which we do all the time. Help us not to do that, Father. So we pray, Father, that you would just guide and direct us, watch over us, and keep the devil away from us, Lord. Put a hedge about us there, Father, that we are always acknowledgeable that the devil's there and what he's trying to do. Don't make us comfortable there, Father, or that way. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.